Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Todd Utzig, and you're listening to Our Melting Pot this morning. I want to thank everyone and anyone at the sound of my voice and anyone and everyone for passing along the link to this particular program. I wanted to talk a little bit this morning about, and actually my dog's going to bark for just a moment because my wife's home, but the greatest danger that we face as Americans. I've entitled this morning's program, Our Greatest Danger, from Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ to Donald Trump's tweeting out that which amounts to actual versus perceived legitimate parenthood. Modern family Democrats serve a greater threat, I believe. And I should have actually started with that, but I haven't had my coffee up this morning. But that's neither here nor there. Modern family Democrats serve a greater threat to our republic than does ISIS. And just about everything that they do destroys the undergirding, rather, of our democracy, our republic, rather, our free democracy as a republic. And I wanted to talk to you about that a little bit this morning, but the guest call number is 657-383-0613. And I was just Googling a little bit, a couple of different things, and I looked up, interestingly enough, because I wanted to pull them up for this morning's program, I pulled up The Passion of the Christ, The Last Temptation of Christ, and Piss Christ, and all for differing reasons, of course, but it's interesting to note when the three particular products actually came out. That's fairly interesting as well. So we're going to talk about this for a couple of days. The modern family Democrats have a greater threat to our republic than does ISIS. And we have more modern-day Democrats in the United States than we've ever had before. The JFK Democrat is all but certainly been vanquished, beginning with his assassination. And but I wanted to talk about it a little bit because it's interesting. You know, you look at the way people think and different groups of people think is interesting. And we're, like I said, I'm going to talk about that the next couple of days here. And I'm going to run this program again tomorrow after I've had my Java. I may even push it out at 10 a.m. until 10 a.m. rather for a start time, maybe even 10:15. But I am on the East Coast. Again, my name is Todd Utzig. You can check out my blog online at, it's called America the Exceptional, toddutzigblog.wordpress.com. Again, that's toddutzigblog.wordpress.com. All right, thanks again for joining me. And I just wanted to talk to you about a couple of things. It's interesting, and this goes all the way back to, I didn't realize that The Last Temptation of Christ was actually released in 1988, and that it had been that long. It's a Martin Scorsese film produced by Barbara DeFina, and the screenplay is by Paul Schrader and Martin Scorsese and Jay Cox. Anyway, but I didn't realize it had been that long. Now, here's what's interesting. Legitimate adults in the room, and I'm going to use that phrase a lot over the coming days, weeks, months, and years, Lord Jesus willing. Oh, God forbid I say that. But The Last Temptation of Christ, I'm glad that that came out in 1988, and I'll tell you why. Because that was 2 years, depending on the release date, and I don't have that in front of me right now, for The Last Temptation of Christ. I already knew. I'd heard enough stuff on the street. There was enough of a buzz on the street, so to speak, that I wasn't going to see it. I had already been studying the Bible for 3 years, over 3 years at that point, but exclusively for 3 years by 1988, and I knew that it wasn't going to. Chances were slim to nothing that the Last Temptation of Christ was going to bring anything even remotely biblical to the big screen. But here's the cool thing, to each his own. You know, they made the movie. I don't remember anyone on that particular team forcing me to see The Last Temptation of Christ, which is a beautiful thing. And in America at that point in time, you know, it's interesting because today's modern family Democrat is dangerous mentally, spiritually, physically, and elsewhere. But it's interesting because the last Temptation of Christ, like I said, came out in 88, and I graduated 86 from high school in 1986, and I just didn't want to go see it. So that's kind of cool. That's one of the other great things about the America that that I was raised in, growing up in the 70s and 80s in the Midwest, South Dakota, Iowa, and, South Dakota and Iowa at any rate. So, but interestingly enough, today's modern family Democrat, you know, a dad tweets that which is next to a condolence in one sense, tweets daughter, and liberal snowflakes, I call them jacktards, I need you to pray for me on that, because I really, they're dangerous. And the interesting thing is I've been warning people, gosh, I think for 20 or 30 years now that modern Democrats were a half step removed at one point from radical Islam. And now I don't even think it's a half a step removed. I think it's complicit that they are almost one in the self same at any rate, because there has to be a blindness there, physically or spiritually, because no one's going to rush into a home that's completely engulfed with flames, having recognized that there's no one in that home unless there's a spiritual blindness or you know, like wanting so badly to elect a woman to the office of the President of the United States that you overlook the fact that she took, that particular candidate took north of $200 million or more from men that would set, that have never progressed, it would set America back thousands of years, because what would have happened is there would have been this amazingly large influx of people from all over the world, because Hillary Clinton's a globalist, not unlike Angela Merkel. And Angela Merkel actually was first to break their glass ceiling in Germany, and then ended up having at one point to, because of her immigration policy and due to her immigration policy over in Merkel land in Germany, I refer to it as Merkel land now, and I think that our modern day family Democrats should do us all a great favor and leave for Merkel land yesterday, because immigration matters, immigration policy matters. And no, as a quote-unquote white nationalist, I have not said that we shouldn't allow for people to immigrate to the United States. I just don't think that it's all that wise to be importing the criminal element unnecessarily to the United States. But here, let's get back to the point at hand. And it's interesting because you've got Donald Trump, my president, the president of my Dominican-born wife, and she is all in for Donald President and Mike Pence, thank God. But I wanted to just share something with you about this whole thing. Who, in the United States, in terms of our fabric, overall fabric, there is a thread, our fabric, that is dangerous. And I'll tell you why. Because they freak out. Oh, that's a conflict of interest. You can't support your daughter, if you're the President of the United States, on Twitter. Really? Really? Well, basically, folks, there's no conflict of interest there, number one, because back in the day, there would probably have been two men a couple hundred years ago that would have challenged one another to a duel behind the saloon, their nearest saloon. So, but the thing is, you know, it really is, there's nothing wrong with that tweet from our 45th president, you know, just basically stating you've only got so many characters to tweet with anyway. Is, you know, he's just like, my daughter's always trying to, you know, encourage me to do the right thing. And anyway, I'm going to get into this more over the course of the next couple of days, but they freak out. They act like, here's the wild thing with Modern Family Democrats. They act as if the conservatives or white nationalists, quote unquote, if you will, are holding a collective gun to their liberal skinny latte lumbar latte, and we're not. It's like we're not forcing you. Now it would be different, okay, if all of a sudden the next day Nordstrom's was only carrying. Let's say Donald Trump tweeted that out. And let's say that within 48 hours, Nordstrom's was only carrying, exclusively carrying Ivanka Trump's clothing and accessory line. Then Chicken Little, this guy might be falling. But as an adult, see, let's talk about legitimacy in terms of adulthood, shall we? Interestingly enough, you know, we've had a lot of that kind of tossed about as of late, just after the election, or prior to, after the election and prior to the inauguration, and certain quote-unquote adults not showing up for the inauguration, which is interesting because as an adult in the United States of America, I would rather Nordstrom's expand their walls and include, be as inclusive as possible where their clothing line is concerned or their accessory line. I'd rather have more choices, not less, and that's the choice before us today that we're going to have to make in America, and thankfully we made it on November 9th. That was another thing that I need to write about. I have a book coming out on March 10th entitled The Good Altar, Eight Fallacies About the Aging White Man, and I'm going to develop that into a subsequent documentary, but they always run around like someone's holding a gun to their head. I saw a video on the internet, and I have it on my Facebook page, and I've reposted it a couple times, and I think I tweeted it out a couple of times, of a dog that had a bone in front of its face, and its rear leg was approaching the bone, and the dog was snarling and growling and kind of nipping at its back leg. And that's how I view modern-day family Democrats. The cacophony in their head of voices is a mixture of groupthink and schizophrenia. And, you know, and we didn't run around, the sky is falling. When we learned that the Passion of the Christ or Piss Christ was developed, we just didn't buy a ticket. We didn't, now one thing we're not okay with is, providing the artist or the quote-unquote man behind Piss Christ, Google Piss Christ, and that actually came out, what year is that release? In 1987 by Andre Serrano. So Piss Christ. And interestingly enough, the National Endowment for the Arts gave that person $20,000. And I want to talk about that in the days to come as well. I'm going to go back and listen to today's clips and talk about why or why not that may be, the spiritual implications of us being hated because they first hated him, Jesus Christ, and so forth, and spiritual wickedness in high places and so forth. And that's coming out of the mouth of a Methodist, which was nothing but a drinking Baptist for a long time. So, but I want to talk about that. So it's interesting. You know, you've got Chicken Little Just, you know, not even a nuclear reaction in the way of, like, CERN, which is something else we're going to talk about in coming days. I think that's pretty evil. A lot of their scientists have said, well, we really don't know what we're going to create out of this, but I don't know how you can be pro-green and pro-CERN at the same time and not care about what you're creating or destroying or... Or textbook knowledge. And so maybe Bannon's onto something, right? So the only thread within our fabric, and there's a lot of that thread, probably 60 or 70% of the 51% of America is that thread. And they act like Donald Trump issued an edict that you have to buy his daughter's clothes, or that Nordstrom or leaned in on Nordstrom. We're going to talk a lot about that in the days to come, you know, about how this came about. Why did it come into being, and how did it come into being so quickly is deeply concerning to me. You know, things like, hey, children, look over here at the interview, the sub-sophomoric film. Again, that's right up Barack Hussein Obama's alley, because it's sub-sophomoric, and it's something that he can use, and he did use quite effectively when Sony was threatened by North Korea about releasing the film, and then they weren't going to release it to protect their employees. But then the president chimed in, interestingly enough, the ex-president, ex-POTUS, thank God. Thank you, Jesus, God Almighty. Thank you. Anyway, hallelujah. But it's interesting because he chimed in and he was like, no, Sony. And then we hacked Japan, like, that night or the next day. Or not Japan, I'm sorry, North Korea, rather. And I'm going to have my coffee here in a little bit so I don't start confusing Crimea with Korea, like some other brainiacs and on the Senate floor and in Congress. But so there's a big part of it. There's been this brainwashing, and I'm going to talk about the brainwashing. I want to break it down component by component or piece by piece over the days and weeks to come. And this brainwashing that's been taking place, and, you know, from the Obamas showing up on Sesame Street to, and then those kids graduating to Teen Nick, and then to Disney, quote unquote, family, and then to, like Hellcats and Pretty Little Liars, and then off in the La La Land and the news sources that they follow, like Saturday Night Live. That's a news source for them. And and then, you know, you kind of wonder, you know, we're in this quagmire, right? And in the United States, and or we wonder, the adults, the legitimate adults in the room that would like to see more choices rather than less in stores, because that's kind of cool, because with the opportunity, with this notion or idea of more voices, more choices, one often ends up with being able to learn about a new company. Oh, but we couldn't have that. Not where conservatism's involved. They couldn't make a better, conservatives couldn't create a better wheel. The fact is that we probably couldn't in terms of a wheel itself. But of the wheel itself, but that was probably created by conservatives anyway. So I'd have to go back and research that, so don't pass that along as a... on your hashtag MSM, because only real news, accurately reflecting non-bias news that I watched for the bulk of last year, unfortunately, was the loss of Mary Tyler Moore in terms of the mainstream media, and unbiased news, like I said, is... I wouldn't call things fake news per se. I just call it just completely jacktarded bias. But, and the tragedy at the Mexican fireworks factory, where there was lost life there. And that's another key difference between us and today's modern family Democrat. Their fingers, collectively speaking, are on the trigger. They actually are, because what they're doing away with is there are direct attacks on our republic and on our Constitution. But here's what's interesting. Look at this. Jump back to Barack Obama, since one might otherwise assume that America's first black president, quote unquote, would promote diversity at every turn. One would think, right? So he leans on Sony. No, release the film. We're gonna take care of North Korea. Yeah, I'm the tough guy. But then the tough guy leaned on Dinesh D'Souza, of Indian descent, a filmmaker. Oh, we can't have another voice out there. Nikula Baseli Nikula leaned on him harder than Dinesh D'Souza. Any leaning is unacceptable in terms of our First Amendment take on things as conservative Americans. And so while America's children while the interview received a standing ovation from our snowflakes, and by and large comprised of millennials and just really sick, older, modern family Democrats that just couldn't spot a JFK today. And that's probably a good thing, because if they did spot a JFK, he or she would probably be dead again with two shooters. Around. So, anyway, really quick here, I just wanted to talk to you about that. This morning, the greatest danger in the United States, kind of to sum things up this morning, comes from the modern family Democrats. They are the danger. And they can't even see it. And why the blindness? The blindness. They should be all deemed entirely blind. And subsequently, if you're entirely blind, you are, you receive great treatment from the United States government, as you should. But this blindness is different, because they can actually see, having eyes to see and not seeing, having ears to hear and not hearing. The blind lead the blind, and both fall into a ditch. It's so interesting. And all of the brainwashing that goes on. It's interesting, because Chicago Fire, the first episode, it's pilot. And I'm writing a blog entry about that, and an article that I'm going to just squeeze into my new book, which is due out on March 10th, The Good Altar, 8 Fallacies About the Aging White Man. It will be available solely on Kindle Direct. You got these little swipes, like 24 Legacy. You look at one of the last episodes of Chicago Fire, and the bomber would-be bomber, if you will, was white, and he was a Gadsden guy, and they took a swipe at that, a real quick swipe, and then there was a real quick swipe at the 1% and Legacy 24, where the main character in the beginning of the show got home from work, and he's talking to his girl, and he states to his girl that, she was like, how's your day? And he's like, oh, I'm just trying to help the 1% breathe a little easier. And close your eyes and picture someone placing a frog in a pot with a lid on top. Pop, pop, pop. And then in cold water, and then gradually increasing. You've heard that before. We've heard it a thousand times, but it's happening before our eyes. And why is it happening? Because blind lead the blind, and the uptick in climate change, where writing is concerned, television productions and so forth are concerned today. And then the frog is like, oh, this is just so comfy. And the next thing you know, the water is like 197 degrees. I'm like, I'm still loving this. This is just such a cool thing, you know. But then you hear the next line, anti-Gadsden line, trying to paint all conservatives that have ever purchased anything with the Gadsden flag on it as nut jobs and stuff. And it, and then you start to, you get this glimpse into their heart, their mind, the psyche of the modern day family Democrat. And it's interesting. It becomes so interesting at that time because you can see that, like, bit by bit and inch by inch and day by day and week by week and month by month and South Park and the interview and sleight of hand and leaning on filmmakers and blaming savagery. Why it just floats through, you know, and it's given the proverbial, it doesn't, interestingly enough, the president didn't even have to give it a hall pass at the end of his 8 years in office, Barack Hussein Obama, and then at the end of his second term. He didn't have to, or halfway through his second term, rather, he didn't have to give the interview a hall pass. It already had a hall pass. Why? Because people have become so indoctrinated by the cacophony, which is a mixture of group think tank and Ivy League think, if you will, today, and separation of church and stateies, that didn't weren't upset with our National Endowment for the Arts thing, the creator of the Piss Christ, Andre Serrano, $20,000, but okay with our EEOC backing up two Muslims that wouldn't deliver alcohol because of their deeply held religious beliefs as individuals, and subsequently going after a couple of bakers and making sure that they're fined to the tune of $130,000. That's interesting. But for their individually held, deep religious beliefs. So you look at those two things, and then you have this amazing picture. You have this insight. And we could talk about this for days and weeks and months and years and millennia, the insight into the modern family mind, the cacophony of groupthink and schizophrenia, and spiritual blindness as well, are three of the ingredients. Then that frog, real quick, that frog, all of a sudden it's a boiling point. And after seeing these little snippets over the course of the last 25 years or so on TV, and then the frog is like, he doesn't even realize it, but he's ready for someone in the bayou to partake in frog legs and any other meat that might be found on a frog. Because he's boiled and he is unaware that the temperature gradually rose to the point of boiling and his skin tone is now either pink or white or however that plays out, you know, unlike or not unlike seafood, when you know that seafood is done. All right, so make sure that you check me out online at toddutzig.wordpress.com. I'm sorry, that's toddutzigblog.wordpress.com. America the Exceptional, thank you so much for listening. I'm going to develop this into a series. And you can give me a call at 657-383-0613. And our greatest danger is the byline. So, all right, take care. More voices, not less. More choices, not less. Make us legitimate adults. God save America.